much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. This is your moment. The world breathes for you. I love you myself.
And playback.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I am here with the man, the father of talent. He's planted many seeds in the music industry, Mr. Joseph Jackson. I know you're the scout of very good talent, so I'm going to sing for you and you tell me how it is. You ready? My name is Beer Mug. I'm kind of fat. My name is Beer Mug. How'd you like that?
I don't like that.
Aw, Joe Jackson turned me down.
And now.
I'm sure you've seen the numbers. I'm just calling to say not to worry. We're not bothered by it, so don't you be. Don't let it get to you. You guys, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep making with the funny. We're all good.
Our feature presentation.
A sentence or two we've never heard. Oddly enough. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 20th. Of June.
Don't start a riot, by the way.
I agree.
That's the motto I live my life by.
Love's what I got. Don't start a riot.
Don't start a riot. Right. That's a rhyme that they wrote that and then sang that and said, yes, let's keep that in the song.
And we play the heck out of
yes,
it.
We
so
do.
We're in this too. Mm-hmm.
Let's release it that way, guys, rather than spend 15 seconds to come up with a better rhyme. All right, here's a story to get us going here on this Thursday that involves tipping. Now, help me understand this, guys. What is the actual definition of tipping? Is it voluntary, something that you give because you want to reward the person
No.
for exceptional service? Or is it mandatory?
I think that it's somewhere in between, but it's closer to mandatory than it
Yes,
is voluntary.
I agree.
Mean, I think they do count on tips, and so if they're average – it's just the way I do it. Then you mm-hmm. tip, you know, a normal amount. If they're good, I tip more.
What's the recourse for somebody on the other end, the person who's providing the service, if they don't get a tip?
Nothing.
Mm-mm.
So it's not required.
No.
Okay.
They just get screwed, basically.
Here's a man in San Francisco taking a taxi cab in the Asbury Heights neighborhood. 37-year-old man in the news. Got to the destination. Gave the driver the money to cover the fare and ask for the appropriate change back.
Right.
Including no tip. Wanted all of it back.
Right.
Zero tip. Took a taxi cab, paid the fare, gave him like a 10 for an 870 fare or something like that. Wanted all the money back, no tip.
All right, now let me just butt in here. I was talking about waiters and waitresses. I don't really know what the tipping policy is on taxi cabs.
But I bet mm-hmm. you tip them.
Well, I mean, I do.
I do, yeah. too.
But only out
I
of,
do too.
I don't know.
That's
right.
That's why I'm wondering. That's why I don't know. I mean, are you required to? It seems like no, you're not required to. Seems like it's something that people do just because we do,
but,
just because it's tradition.
But if you give them a 10 and your change is like $1.10, I mean,
right?
What?
Yeah,
give the guy a buck.
100% of the time, you give them that tip.
Right. Right.
Sure.
Exactly. Well, this man in San Francisco did not. He got out of the cab and started to walk away. The driver gets out of the cab after him and starts chasing him on foot.
All right.
Tackles him to the ground, starts to strangle him, then robs him, takes money out of his wallet, gets back in his cab, and drives off.
Well, I guess we were wrong. You do have to tip.
Wow. The victim was taken to UCSF Hospital to be treated for non-life-threatening injuries, told police he did not catch the cab company the taxi belonged to, but did describe it and describe the driver as being a white, balding man in his 30s wearing a polo shirt and jeans, so he is filing a complaint. But you don't tip the guy, and he chases you down, knocks you down, strangles you, and robs you.
Yeah, probably just easier to tip.
Yeah.
It seems like.
I think that $1.40 or whatever it is might have been worth it instead, right?
That's a little scary.
Yeah, that's just a bizarre story. And it also is very much a surprise to me. As angry as the cab driver was, it can't be the only time it ever happened. I'm sure there are times where people only have whatever the fare is, right?
Oh,
they
I agree.
Can't give a tip.
I agree. And I imagine that this cab, knowing nothing, I imagine that this cab driver just lost it based on this and a bunch of other stuff going on in his life.
Maybe so.
Maybe this was like the fourth guy in a
yeah,
row after a long night, and he's like, F this.
Yeah. Take what is mine.
It's also kind of a surprise that a guy would do that knowing how easy it would be to track him down, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he's given up the job when he does it. You know,
right? Exactly.
We know that.
So there you go. So keep that in mind. If you're taking a cab or involved in some sort of a situation where a tip may be expected, it might be safer for you to just go ahead and give them the couple of bucks.
I do watch the amount, though, as it goes up and up and up, because then you go, well, it's $9. As long as it stays under $10,
right,
then I can give him a 10, and then he has a tip. But right, if it gets to be 10, 20,
then you're hosed.
Now you don't have any ones. Maybe you give them a 5. Now what do? You let them keep the 5? I don't know. That's too much. But then
and you're trying to get out, he needs to go on. It's a very tense situation.
It is.
Really.
It's a standoff.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's a standoff. It's very difficult. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
I am so not in the mood.
You have no idea how good it's going to be.
Really? Okay.
We are going to talk to Dr. Drew today.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's ugly.
He's ugly, according to Amanda Bynes. Yep. And the other question that people keep asking him is, why won't he help her?
Mm-hmm.
Which always sort of takes him by surprise, because he can't just force himself and his medical opinion on people.
If he cared about people, he could.
I don't think so.
He can kidnap
them. No, he can't. thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Oh, it's about time.
Come on.
We give Chip, who works here with us, we give her hazard pay because she has to follow Bean and actually read the drivel that comes out of his keyboard.
Yeah.
And so I'm sorry that I'm not tweeting enough photos of Kate Upton to make you happy.
Thank you. You could do that. That would be perfectly fine. You left a game early and got burned. Tonight is Game 7 of the NBA Finals, but Game 6, Miami was behind with 5 seconds to go, and a bunch of fans stormed out and even gave interviews afterwards. We have some video where they're giving interviews, like, we had a great season. It had to come to an end. Had to come to an end at some point. Really sorry, but the team did great. They didn't even know the team won.
The team was still in overtime back in the building that they had just left.
That was some of them. And then other ones were trying to get back in the building, and they have a no reentry policy, so they were not letting them in. So basically, they stood outside of the arena and watched it on the TV monitors.
That's so sad.
Even though they were in the house at the time. So we got that coming up today. We have a brand new internet roundup on the program, and more. Bob Dylan, what's he doing in New York with a bunch of naked women? What's happening with that?
Naked women?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like. Not like Bob.
Right. And because he just seems scary.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan's scary. So anyway, we got that coming up today as well. Plus, we'll continue to give you tickets to the 5th Annual Epicenter, which is Saturday, September 21st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. And you get to see The Offspring. You get to see Bad Religion, Pennywise, Day to Remember, and a bunch more. So keep listening for your chance to win those. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Jack Johnson concert tickets on the show for you today. Premier passes for Despicable Me, and we'll hook you up with more tickets for the 5th Annual Epicenter. That's all on the way. First, though, it is... Wow, is it Thursday already, you guys?
It is.
Yes. Oh, is it Thursday already? Wearing our sweaters.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Probably the one of the saddest Showbiz Beats we'll do all year, I imagine, Ralph.
Yeah.
Because of the Simpson donuts they're making in Belgium?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bummer.
Obviously, that's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Man, it's a donut and a hamburger. It's sad. What's happening there? Of course, Bean's referring to the news that was everywhere yesterday when it broke late in the afternoon. Sad and surprising news from Italy, where Sopranos star James Gandolfini died of an apparent heart attack at the age of 51.
Shocking. So shocking.
I know.
51's just crazy.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised because I thought he was much older. And that he was only 37 when he started on The Sopranos. Remember what Tony Soprano looked like? That dude was 37.
Yeah, but I always assumed he was in his 40s on that show.
Seemed like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just looked older to me, but still
terrible.
You just hate
fat people, that's all.
And he's got a young daughter, like a year old.
He's got an infant daughter, from a brand new marriage.
The whole thing is terrible.
He was in Sicily for a film festival, and, a lot of people, of course, remember him as Tony Soprano. That was obviously his... most impactful role, but I remember him from True Romance back in the early 90s when he played a hitman in that film. He was brilliant in that. And he did a lot of other good work that shouldn't be overlooked, from as recent as Zero Dark Thirty to his work on the stage with God of Carnage on Broadway and then here in Los Angeles again. He was the quintessential Jersey guy. Born and raised in Jersey, went to Rutgers. Became an actor, started working in New York, and did a lot of character work in film and television before David Chase's TV series made him a star. So sad that we lose a guy who, by all accounts, was not only a brilliant actor, but a real nice guy, too. Sort of shy, unassuming. Was great to his castmates. From all accounts, just a pleasure to work with, which is so rare these days. And, yeah, as Bean mentioned, he's got now a baby daughter and a young wife who will have to spend the rest of their lives getting over this loss. So, sad news.
Just terrible.
And now there's a question mark over what's going to happen with his new series. He had a new series coming up on HBO.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, called Criminal Justice. That was an American version of a British series that HBO had not picked up until Gandolfini agreed to star in it. He was going to play a jailhouse attorney named Jack Stone. And now they don't know what's going to happen with the series because really it was his involvement that attracted them to the project. So that may go by the wayside. All right, let's go with some happier, cheerier showbiz news. As I mentioned, the Belgian fast food chain Quick is introducing their new burger as a tribute to The Simpsons. The donut cheeseburger. The donut burger is a donut with a burger on it.
Fantastic.
They also have mini cheesy donuts, which are donuts filled with processed cheese.
These products could not sound worse.
No, but I think Homer would like them.
Yeah.
These people are also famous for serving the Darth Vader buns to promote the last Star Wars release. Remember those with the black bread that you would eat the buns? Did you see the pictures for those? Yeah. Looked very, I don't know how this place stays in business. It makes the most unappetizing food in the history of fast food. So,
in related news, Beer Mug is going to Belgium on vacation.
That sounds great! They have Bear Claw burgers? That's a donut. No, it's not. Quentin Tarantino. Maybe, he always seems like a fun guy, right?
Absolutely. Drinks a lot, too.
He's a good time.
Sure.
But Diane Kruger from Inglourious Basterds tells the New York Post that when he's working, he is more than serious. She mentioned in the interview that he fired someone on the movie Inglourious Basterds for coming to rehearsal without a pen.
Wow.
He is serious.
Without a pen?
Poor. Oh. Imagine Quentin Tarantino working with Kevin. What would go on if those two got together? I've forgotten my pants. Romance blossoming on the set of X-Men Days of Future Past. Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
Is apparently doing some serious reuniting with her co-star and ex-boyfriend Nicholas Hoult. They used to date, and now they're sort of reunited on the set. She, of course, plays Mystique in that film. The people involved in the project say they are always together. They eat lunch together, disappear into a trailer together, and have been seen strolling around Montreal while they're shooting, getting very close. So, young love. Isn't that nice?
Yes.
She might be the best girlfriend in the world, by the way.
She seems just pretty cool.
Nothing wrong with her,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She does seem cool.
Just amazing.
Speaking of X-Men, Hugh Jackman just seems to be just the best guy. Something's wrong with him. He's a spy, or he's a robot, or something.
There is an underbelly that we're unable to see.
He says he always takes time to sign autographs and photos with all his fans wherever he is. If anyone stops him, he's more than happy to sign an autograph and take a picture. And with a star of his caliber, it must happen constantly.
Yeah. Sure.
He said he does that because that was the way his mom raised him. He was brought up to treat people with respect, and he says it's certainly easier than acting like an asshole.
Well,
he finds that it would be more grueling if he were to do that than he would just to smile and be nice to people and have a good time.
You have to disagree with him on that, obviously, right, Ralph?
No one likes meeting people come up and say they enjoy my work more than I do. No, I love taking pictures. I love signing autographs. It's the people I work with I can't stand.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't get that kind of love from this group.
And Michael Douglas... He, his confession that throat cancer could have been caused by the HPV virus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
National Enquirer says it may have cost him a small fortune with his wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Why?
Reportedly, she was furious and mortified over his statement.
So understandably.
So she immediately made a mad dash for a local jewelry store. Mike apologized time and time again and had to splurge on a $40,000 platinum diamond I'm sorry gift.
Oh, my God. 40 grand.
Yeah. I'll teach you to watch what you're saying. Big mouth.
And he can't exactly go, it wasn't her. You know, yeah, even really, though it may not have been.
It's true. I just read, speaking of the HPV, Did you read the CDC report this week?
No,
I heard about it this morning.
It's insane that, you know, Dr. Drew is always touting how important it is to get this vaccine for this virus to young kids, age 11 or 12. Give it to your daughters and your sons in order to ward off HPV, which is a significant cause of cervical cancer in women and other cancers in men. And they said since 7 years ago, since they started doing the vaccine, it's dropped infections of HPV by half.
Wow.
And then cut down in cancers, I think, by another two-thirds or something like that.
Yeah,
some really effective number.
Yeah, the first, if you get the shot once, it's 86% effective in preventing that kind of cancer.
Yeah.
That's just once, and you're supposed to get it three times, at which point it's 100%. It's insane.
And yet
it's
they insane say how effective that it is. Still only about half the population is getting the virus.
I personally know people with young girls who are like, I don't know, it's new, I'm going to wait and see.
Yeah.
Well, the data is
how
in.
It is.
Yeah. So, do that. People.
Don't know if it's safe.
Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I will be talking about STDs and other things. Come see us at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose, 10 p.m. on Friday. Kevin Smith and I doing our Hollywood Babylon show.
Your STD chunk is the best.
A stoner and a drunk talking about people who are better looking, richer, and more successful than we are.
Yep.
Come on, enjoy the bitterness, won't you?
You should call it a stoner and a drunk.
We really should.
Be the name of it.
It is basically the... the central core of everything we do on that stage. You can go to improv.com or csmod.com. We'd love to see you on Friday night. Celebrity birthdays. Martin Landau. What a great actor he is. Not a good hairpiece, but a great actor.
No.
85 years old today. Lionel Richie is 64. We're going to have to break out a little bean, I think, for later on in the show, perhaps, about how he gets a little richier every time he plays songs. Actor John Goodman is 61. He's got to be sweating it today after the James Gandolfini news. may want to hit the treadmill and try a salad.
Goodman should have been worrying about that for the last 20 years.
Michael Anthony of the legendary Van Halen is 59 years old today. Doesn't work with them anymore, of course. Bassist John Taylor, good day for bassist from Duran Duran, is 53. Nicole Kidman's 46. Actor Josh Lucas turns 42 years old. Christopher Mintz-Plasse is 24. And musician Brian Wilson, legendary Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, is 71 today. So we wish him a very happy birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I'm not sure that we have time to jump right into
this. No, we have time.
Come on.
Tweet.
We always have time for things for the tweet. But we don't have a segment where we make fun of Ralph's tweets or Kevin's tweets or Lisa's tweets.
Come on. Here's the difference. Ralph, Lisa, myself, we might fail, but we try. We at least try to take the listener into account. We at least try to be funny or interesting or something.
And plus, we tweet about something.
You're tweeting to entertain your people, the people who enjoy you and your sense of humor, Ralph. I'm doing the same. The people who follow me on Twitter like it or they wouldn't follow me.
Not possible. It's not possible that you're trying to entertain anyone.
Except for yourself. I follow you and I don't like them.
Boom!
All right. What are we? Give me some specifics here. What are we complaining about today? Because I don't get this at all. Glad to help.
96 degrees in Talkeetna, Alaska on Monday. 96. How's that going? That's the weather.
That's the weather someplace that no one has ever been.
You are tweeting about weather somewhere.
Does it that
that's right? Tweet.
Right, you guys, that it's almost 100 degrees at Mount McKinley. Does that seem like a problem to you guys? Like, what's up with that?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't. And again, we always forget to mention this up front, but we seem to need to. We don't need further clarification of any of these. We get them.
You know how people say, oh, it was such a boring conversation. We had nothing to talk about. We just talked about the weather. He's tweeting about the weather.
An extraordinary
tweet.
Okay.
I need today to be a cashew day. I've had too many Brazil nut days this week. Come on, Saturday. Let's do this.
Come on. Are you really tweeting about what kind of nut you're eating?
No. I don't even know what that means.
What? No, it doesn't have anything to do with the nut that I'm eating. It's talking about cashews being the most awesome nuts, meaning you want it to be an awesome cashew-like day rather than a super crappy, like, Brazil nut day. That's what's going
so
on.
So you're
there.
Not even talking about nuts?
Not talking about nuts
it's
at all.
It's a code? It's a BS nut code for what kind of day you're having?
Your nut code is I want Saturday to be a good day.
I want it to be a cashew day. Or at least a walnut day.
I really thought you were talking about what nuts you
I
ate
thought
on what
for
day.
Sure. Does no, anybody, it's like reaching into a bag of mixed nuts and pulling out a nut.
Does anybody else besides you understand your nut code? Because if not, you're tweeting for one.
I God thought the damn nut code you. Was a universal.
That's that tweet.
Unbelievable.
God damn you, right to hell. Are you tweeting Mr. Peanut? You and the guy with the monocle and the top hat having a little conversation?
I really
kill
don't.
Yourself.
Saturday is the cashew
Peanuts
day.
Are Tuesday, Ralph. Don't
F
be ridiculous.
You.
Remember Eminem? That was an entire goddamn tweet. That happened.
He didn't say, if you'd like to hear the new song, here's the link.
Nope.
No, this was like 2 weeks ago, but when Eminem hadn't been heard from, when he'd gone underground, and we hadn't heard from him for like 2 years. I was just saying it was so weird what a big star he was, and he just vanished.
That no, you weren't. That's not what you said at all. You know what you said? Remember Eminem? That's what you said.
Well, it gets the best.
What nut
across.
Is he?
In the code. He's an almond.
Okay.
Songwriter Irving Berlin assigned all the royalties to his song God Bless America to the Girl Scouts in perpetuity. Hashtag now you know.
That's super interesting, by the way. Writing a song
we
like that.
We will be the judge of that.
And giving it away? Come on.
You are a Twitter rapist.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bing! You force yourselves on people who aren't interested in things like who gets the money from God Bless America.
I found it interesting.
Sometimes you just want to be alone and listen to Taylor Swift.
Oh, my God.
Damn that's not
you
an ew.
Right to hell.
That's a true is what that is.
That's an ew. You don't get to judge your own tweets. Other people can tell you they're good or bad.
And other people know. Okay.
I've decided to start writing OXOXOX instead of XOXOXO because I think most people hug first before they kiss.
B doesn't hug or kiss.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I guarantee he's never written XOXOXO ever.
Both good points.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bing!
We're out of time, guys. We really
we're not
go.
Out of time. We can we go have, all day.
We have to go.
We could take a break and come back.
Why would we ever need to be chasing waterfalls anyway? They don't go anywhere. They're not tornadoes.
Is that a TLC song reference?
Yes.
Are
yes,
you kidding me?
Yeah, it sure is.
Are you joking?
Well, I
what
heard
year the, was Waterfalls
I heard
by the, TLC?
What, early
92?
Sweet Jesus. He's tweeting retroactively now.
Holy crap.
Well, Twitter wasn't around then. I couldn't ask that question. Look, I heard the song that day, and I thought, what a bizarre metaphor to use because you just don't chase waterfalls. It just struck me as weird.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bing! You know what I'm saying?
No, you did not.
Yeah, that was
you
it.
Didn't.
That was a tweet.
That didn't happen.
That was a tweet.
That was not a full
it was a tweet.
That was an accidental tweet.
That was a tweet.
Bean.
That was a tweet.
That was an accident.
That was a tweet.
Tell me that was an accident.
Not only was it not an accident.
That
was
tweet.
Bean.
That was the sweet chestnut of tweets.
Oh. You think, Ralph, do you think he went, nailed it?
I'm sure he did.
Unbelievable. Do we have more? No.
No, no. Please, I can't take any more.
Wow.
And I strongly urge you and your family to take every precaution against the influence of Bean.
That's right. Bean, what nut would you say today is so far?
Well, it started out as a walnut.
Yeah.
When I woke up this morning. But then after you guys all made fun of me. Yeah. I don't know. It's some crappy nut that I haven't discovered yet. It's so bad.
All right. It's 6:39. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock.
By the way, lots of reasons for you to check out KevinandBean.com. We're always putting new stuff up there, including What's Up with Florida. If you missed that yesterday, Adam West reads Kanye West. We got that up there. We got the Anderson Cooper heavy metal song, the Mancer Size video with Beer Mug and Psycho Mike, and so much more. You can find all of that at KevinandBean.com. And don't forget, another reminder, Trent Reznor is going to be coming in on the show on Monday morning. Trent Reznor himself will be talking all things Nine Inch Nails in the 8 o'clock hour Monday morning here on K-Rock.
So you're in Central Park in New York City, and you see this old guy, and he seems to be painting topless women. And there are topless women sitting in front of him, lounging in the grass, sitting around, standing around.
Huh. By the way, let's keep this in mind for the next time we're talking about going to New York. I think the law has changed since the last time we were there, and now you cannot have a shirt on, whether you're male or female in New York, and it's legal. So apparently Central Park has lots of topless chicks hanging out, because they can.
But ugly old Bob Dylan was painting them.
That kind of spoils it, doesn't
sort
it?
Sort of does, yeah.
It's also incredibly random to just see Bob Dylan out in the wild, too, just in Central Park in front of an easel painting. You don't expect – I know he's a weirdo, but you just don't expect to ever encounter him, right?
You don't.
He is just the latest in a long line of musical artists who have become painters. Tom York, for instance, has a little side business making paintings. Obviously, Tony Bennett is probably the most famous. His paintings are worth thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. He's really good. He's been doing it for decades. But we wanted to find out what's going on with Bob. What's up with the naked women? What's up with painting in Central Park? So we have Mr. Dylan joining us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Bob. What's going on?
Well, you're already working today.
So, Bob, are you a true artist and you're finding inspiration in the human form, or are you just a pervy old man who likes to look at young women?
Well, I'm an artist.
I heard you say artist, but that laugh made me think perv.
Yeah, I'm being.
Hey, don't drag me into this. I'm not the one who has all the topless women running around.
Yeah.
Bob, you look a little scary. Was it difficult to talk those girls into it?
No, money.
Money, I see.
Oh, you're paying women to get naked. Wow.
Yeah.
Bob, you're how old now? Like 73 years old, something like that?
73 years old.
But you don't look a day over 93.
Why do you need to be in public painting the nudes? It seems like you have a studio. You could probably just have the girls come over there and do it privately and spare the rest of us.
Because I like natural light.
Natural light.
Yes, oh. And then get out. And paint. And sunshine goes all down. And the dappled cheese and boobies.
I did catch that one.
Yeah.
Now, when you these girls in the photo that I saw look like they might be in their 20s, Bob.
Oh, man, don't.
Do they have any. You're not. It's nothing to do with. Do they have any idea who you are?
What?
You're Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. Yeah. Right. But you said you had to pay him. If they knew who you were, wouldn't they do it for free?
No, they know me, Bob Dylan, the guy who pays to take his shirt off.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I don't know that you want this to be your legacy, but it sounds like you're having a
great... I don't care.
You don't care about your legacy?
I care about my penis.
Okay, what's happening?
I'm being...
Sounds like you're having a pretty good time, Bob.
Yeah, it's good to be Bob.
Yeah, especially today.
It's good to be Bob's penis.
Okay. Got a brand new internet roundup ready to go for you right after the top of the hour, including the viral sensation called I Want a Channing All Over Your Tatum. If you haven't heard that, you definitely want to stick around. That's coming up in just a few minutes. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning.
Today feels like a chestnut to me.
Does it?
Yeah, it's more chestnutty.
Yeah. Glad to see you guys are getting on board with the nut code.
Nut code.
Wheel.
He has a nut code.
Come on.
What percent, if you had to guess, what percentage of people understood that he was talking about the quality of the day with
when
that
he tweeted about those nuts?
0%?
I got to go with 0. I very rarely say 0% with anything, but I think in that case it has to
That be. Wasn't the sense I got at the time, by
sure.
the way.
Sure. No. Yeah.
You probably got a lot of nut love.
People. Yeah, I did get some nut
sure.
love.
You got some nut love. Before I get into the showbiz news,
This is pretty cool. I have been giving away all week long 4 packs of passes to the red carpet world premiere of a movie a lot of people are looking forward to seeing, Despicable Me 2.
Yay!
Gru is back, of course, voiced by the very talented Steve Carell. Ken Jeong joins him in this animated feature film, along with Kristen Wiig and many, many more. If you'd like to see Despicable Me 2 before anybody else, Saturday, June the 22nd, at the Gibson Amphitheater is where the red carpet world premiere will be. You can attend with 3 friends. It's a 4-pack of passes.
It's this Saturday.
This Saturday. If you'd like to go, be caller number 22 and 23 right now at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 22 and 23 will get a 4-pack of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere. If you don't win, don't feel too badly, because the movie will be in theaters everywhere Wednesday, July the 3rd, just in time for the long holiday weekend. Take the kiddies to go see Despicable Me 2 and make everybody happy. Sad news. Surprising news. Yesterday we heard from Sicily. Soprano star James Gandolfini died of an apparent heart attack at the age of 51 while attending a film festival there. Gandolfini had a very busy film career after his 3 Emmy Award-winning performance as Tony Soprano, of course, in 6 seasons of that very popular TV series. He was also great on the stage, television, feature films. In fact, he was in the works with HBO to do another series for them called Criminal Justice.
I never saw him when he wasn't great.
He is one of those actors who he may have even been in bad projects, but his performances were always exemplary. And I remember him in The Mexican with Brad Pitt.
Right?
I thought he was great in that. They worked together again in a film that most recently, Brad Pitt, Killing Me Softly, that the hit.
That's right.
Movie.
He was in that too.
Yeah, so great actor, and by all accounts, just a sweetheart of a guy.
Andrew Siciliano made an excellent point yesterday, our friend Andrew, who said that, you know, HBO is so dominant now, and part of the reason is because of The Sopranos, and he's the major person of the, you know, the reason for the success of that show. I mean, that's why Sunday nights became the big night for HBO, was because of The Sopranos way back when. That he really, his role on that show really did kind of change the face of television.
Yeah. In terms of going to a pay-per-view channel, you know, a pay cable channel for original programming, Sopranos created the template. I mean, no one really cared before. You'd go to HBO to watch movies. That's
right.
When
exactly.
You never went to see a new series on HBO or Showtime or Stars or any of these networks now that are flourishing with original dramatic programming.
So. And there are a lot of people who consider The Sopranos the best television show of all time.
I'll tell you something. You can certainly make the argument.
Sure.
You'd be hard-pressed. Yeah, really tragic news. I think everyone's just stunned because he was so young. 51 years old.
Absolutely.
And left behind an infant baby girl and a brand new wife. And just moved to a new house in our neighborhood, Lisa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so kind of sad news. Amy Adams is a sweetheart. She plays, of course, Lois Lane in the new Man of Steel movie. Remember we were talking last hour about how nice a guy Hugh Jackman is? Apparently,
yeah.
Amy Adams, same thing. She says she could never be a diva. She just can't find it. She would like to be able to, but she can't.
She really wants to be one.
She would be very fun, she thinks, to be a diva and to be on the set and throw her weight around, but she simply can't. Why? Because she says if she acted like a diva in any way, she would have to spend too much time sending apology notes to everyone for my abhorrent behavior, she writes. So, a good girl to the end.
I think that all is how you're raised. I think if you're raised that way, you can't turn into
just your
diva.
Conditioning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a pistachio among women, I would say.
Is that good?
That's great.
Okay. All right. Good.
She's green and her shell is cracked partially.
No, just delicious. Bean continues with the nut code.
Dania Ramirez. Are you familiar with her? She was on Entourage, played Turtle's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
When he was trying to develop that tequila line. She's a beautiful girl. Stars
in
that new series, Devious Maids. She also is a good girl. She says she always took her mother's advice, especially when it came to clean underwear. She said she carries an extra thong in her purse at all times, so she can change into a fresh pair after being out all day long at work when she feels a little less than fresh.
What she do with the old pair? That's what I don't know.
Come on.
How much does that cost? I'm just wondering.
Come on, Bean, stop it.
If I could make
it,
I would like to make an offer on that other pair. Is what I'm saying.
How much? But this is America. I want it now.
And Alexander Skarsgård of True Blood, which of course is now back.
Yes.
Brand new season on HBO. Says to Us Weekly Magazine, he doesn't mind being nude in front of people. No problem with the nude scenes in that show.
Good thing, because he's naked all the time.
Naked all the time. The show has no problems with it. Why? Once again, it's how you're raised, Kevin. I was 14 the first time I saw my dad wearing pants.
Whoa!
He was always naked.
I thought you were going to say the first time he saw him nude.
He was always naked. It wasn't until he was 14 he finally saw Dad put some pants on.
What are those, Dad? That seems like a bad nut.
That would be an interesting phone topic because there are a lot of people who have been raised in families like that where it's not uncommon for family members, including your parents, to just run around naked all the time. I wonder what that does to you, if that affects your sexuality.
It probably just makes you
just less sensitive,
calmer about everything. Yeah.
Maybe.
The always nudes versus the never nudes.
Right. Right.
I like it. Yeah.
Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show. Come see it. It's very funny. I get very, very drunk, and Kevin gets very stoned. And we have a new game we play now on Hollywood Babylon, What You Smoking, where Kevin tells us what strain he's on that night. And it depends. The show depends largely on what kind of strain he's working with. It is at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. Go to improv.com or csmod.com for details and tickets. Today's celebrity birthdays, Martin Landau, 85 years old today. Still one of my favorite performances ever. I think, is his work in Ed Wood as Bela Lugosi. Remember that film?
Yes.
With Johnny Depp?
Yes.
He plays the weirdo, true life story of the weird director, and Bela Lugosi was his friend. Great performance. John Goodman, very talented actor, is 61 years old today. A lot of bassists in today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Anthony, formerly of Van Halen, and Chickenfoot, he's 59. John Taylor of Duran Duran is 53. Nicole Kidman turns 46. Director Robert Rodriguez is 45 years old. Actor Josh Lucas is 42. Christopher Mintz-Plasse, soon to be seen in the new Kick-Ass 2, is 24 years old. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys is 71. And singer Lionel Richie. Lionel Richie, of course, of the Commodores, a very successful solo career. So successful, as a matter of fact, that, geez, I wonder what happens when you play one of his songs on the radio. Does Lionel Richie, does he get a taste?
Last one for Burnsville, for Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
He gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
Oh, I got to tweet that. That's Bean. That's a young DJ.
Yeah. Before Twitter, when he had to inflict damage via the radio to his
listeners. Oh, he still does that.
I know.
He's got plenty of damage to spread around.
He hasn't diverted any of that energy into Twitter. He's just expanded his universe of pain.
You guys know I'm here, right? I can hear you and stuff.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Chris Bosch, by the way, from the Miami Heat, said, hey, you fans who left the game early at the end of Game 6 when you thought it was over, don't bother coming to Game 7. That's his attitude. We're going to be taking your calls of sporting events that you left early. You thought it was in the bag. You wanted to beat the traffic home. You missed an amazing comeback or something happened after you left. We want to take your calls coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, thanks for listening here on a Thursday. It's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Yeah!
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
King of Mexico does a great job putting together the Internet Roundup every week. I swear, it's like 20 new videos a week, and we don't even have time to spotlight them all on the radio, but you should definitely make that destination shopping for all your viral video needs.
Can they buy them?
No, but just, you know, to see, okay. Stay current, get caught up.
Gotcha.
This kid that we're going to start with is named Casey. He's in fifth grade, just graduating from fifth grade, and got an opportunity to get up and give a little speech in front of his class. Imagine what this kid's life is like, Kevin. He's a huge sports fan, but he roots for the Dodgers. Yet he lives and goes to school in San Francisco, where the Dodgers' mortal enemy, the San Francisco Giants, play.
This kid has balls that are so big.
Yes, he does.
It has been very tough for him, particularly the last few years, as the Giants have been, you know, World Series winning machines.
Right.
So he's telling a little bit of a story here. Again, this is Casey, a Dodgers fan in San Francisco, talking about how tough it was for him the last time the Giants won the World Series.
The next day, the whole school took a picture with everyone in Giants gear. And there I was, watching the whole thing, decked out in every piece of Dodger gear I had. The whole school, mostly fifth graders, were screaming "Beat LA" right at me. But I'm a true fan, and true fans stand tough. Go Dodgers.
That was it. And you walked off the stage.
Seriously.
Threw the mic to the ground. Just went, what?
Nice.
By the way, he is going to be throwing out the first pitch at the Los Angeles Dodgers game at Dodger Stadium. I think maybe even coming up this weekend, the Dodgers have arranged that he's representing the Dodgers so hard in the Bay Area that they're going to have him throw out a pitch here. So
he's
that's
a
pretty
fifth
cool.
grader. You think he'll do it better than I did?
I'm sure he will.
Yeah, I think so too.
If you're on Facebook, you're probably playing Candy Crush. It's the biggest thing on the internet in terms of games. It's even bigger than Farmville now. And somebody put together a trailer of what Candy Crush the movie would look like. And naturally, there are so many people who are just addicted to this game that they are begging him to figure out some way to actually get this made as a feature film.
The maker of this world has got to be sick and demented knowing how badly people want it. Yet putting up damn near impossible walls and obstacles at every level of this journey.
Dude, it's just Candy Crush. Get a grip.
Get a grip. By the way, King of Mexico is one of those players who puts real money down to advance the next level in Candy Crush. Actually pays dollars, not a joke.
It's a shortcut that you can just buy your way through.
Exactly.
Nice.
All right, Kevin, what are your people in the internet roundup here? You think this is real? This guy who lines up 40 shots of Jaeger in a row on the bar and drinks them one right after another in about 4 minutes.
I think it's real because at the end of it, there's bad things going on, and it's that kind of throw up is the only way he could stay alive.
Oh, really?
What can 40 shots?
How much damage? I mean, that could do serious.
That could kill you.
Oh, you could definitely die.
Yeah, alcohol poisoning. Yeah.
You know what's interesting to me? And I've how many Jaeger shots you think you've done in a row, Kevin?
I'm not a big Jaeger fan. Probably only 3 or 4.
Okay. Do you feel it as fast as he seems to in this video?
Yeah.
Because within the first minute or so, he's already moving slow and wobbly. Yeah.
He feels the first 10 by the time he gets to 20.
Oh, God.
And he did 40 in a row. And you know the throw-up sound effects that we always have on this show?
Yes.
This just eclipses it by about 10 times.
Well, here's his friends egging him on to drink all 40.
40 Jaegers!
Oh, you got the last one.
Now that was super bad. 99.
Okay, that's fine. That's
easy.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah, that's just pure Jaeger.
It sure is.
On the return trip.
Oh, God.
All right, we got 3 in a row that all have to do with Superman. Man of Steel, of course, the number one movie in the world right now. These guys are awesome. They do a series called Draw My Life, where they actually show you he's animating the story of Superman, and you can also buy the song that you're about to hear as he sings about what the movie is about.
But it quickly became very clear that I wasn't like anyone here. I was fast as a bullet, as strong as a car, and with only one leap I could reach for the stars! In the sky, not a bird, not a plane, I'm Superman, defender of Earth.
Super talented. That's good for you and your Broadway friends there, too, Lisa.
Awesome.
Batman makes an appearance, too. Here's somebody who edited together a guy in a Batman suit, and he put him in all sorts of classic movie scenes. For instance, here's Batman with Hugh Grant from Notting Hill.
I'm also just a girl, standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her. Love me!
It seems like a perfect situation, apart from that foul temper of yours.
I'm so lonely!
With you, I'm in real danger.
I'm Batman, but I deserve love!
Same Batman goes out on the street. He's trying to start some sort of a turf war between him and Superman. He's basically interviewing people, trying to get them to agree with him that Dark Knight is better than the Man of Steel.
Hey, look, up in the sky! It's nothing, because Superman doesn't exist in this world. But Batman can. You know the name of Superman's butler? Exactly. He doesn't have a butler. You know who loves Chick-fil-A?
No.
Superman.
And he does.
He endorses Chick-fil-A. Very anti-gay marriage, that Superman.
He's out there basically slandering Superman. Hey, before we get to these last 2 clips in the internet roundup, Kevin, you have something special going on with Steven Seagal. This was in the roundup, too. What's that all about?
It's a bizarre thing. You know how Russia was going to hire Steven Seagal to be the spokesperson for their arms or
something weird? Something like that, yeah.
So he goes over there and he's doing this Chechen dance, and it is a funky – he looks terrible. I mean, he's fat, out of shape. He's doing this weird dance that makes him look like he's possessed by Satan. So there's the original there, and then I remixed it with a Daft Punk song. Both of those are up at kevinandbean.com.
Nice.
Funny. Definitely check that out. And finally, our friend Jimmy Kimmel has another one of his all-star videos put together. This is a great song called I Want a Channing All Over Your Tatum. And the clip, there's a lot of people in this, including Olivia Munn is in there, and Matt Damon makes a quick appearance. But here's Jimmy. He's singing, and then you'll also hear Channing Tatum and Jamie Foxx as well.
We once made a volcano and we watched it erupt. Thanks, Mom. I want a Channing All Over Your Tatum.
Whoa. You nasty, man. You can't chant it all over
that's
your mom's.
That's your mom, bro.
You know, I'm actually not sure what this song is about.
All right, Jimmy, let me explain it to you real quick.
I.
And finally, also from Jimmy Kimmel, he did a great job with Miss Utah. She, of course, was from the Miss USA pageant this past week, and she's the latest one who melted down when they asked her a question. Remember, they were asking her about why women are not making as much as men?
Yep.
And she went off into this rambling answer that made no sense whatsoever. Well, he talked to her about that, and she acquitted herself very well. She said, look, I just froze, and I just had to talk, and I had no idea what I was saying. So he said, look, I know that your talent is you're a singer. Maybe it would be therapeutic for you to actually sing your answer. So that's exactly what she did as she sang her answer from Miss USA pageant.
Our arms seen as the leaders of this, and so we need to try to figure out how to create better education so that we can.
That's wow. The best thing she could do is go out there and kind of make fun of herself for how bad she did, right?
Absolutely.
Really good stuff. All right, you can check out all these videos and more at KevinandBean.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Rock.
Kevin and Bean, later, Rambo.
Look, you can argue that there have been better NBA finals. You can argue that there have been better NHL finals. But you can't argue that there have been two this good going on at the same time. It's insane. The third out of what, four overtime hockey games last night?
Yep.
It's all tied up 2-2. The basketball is all tied up 3-3. Game 7 is tonight. And a lot of controversy happened around the end of that last game in Miami a couple of nights ago, right?
It was so great because Miami was behind with 5 seconds to go, and a lot of people started streaming for the doors. And not, I mean, it wasn't just a couple. There's a lot of people leaving.
Aww.
And as you may know, the Heat then came back and tied it. And here's a reporter outside talking about what happened.
A large number of unfaithful Miami Heat fans, well, they didn't even see the end of it because they walked out of the arena prematurely. They thought their season was over. Take a listen to what they had to say outside.
It wasn't our year. It's okay. They tried.
It wasn't our year.
It wasn't our year. We had a great run. Let's go Heat next year. They didn't realize that it had been tied up, went into overtime, and the Heat won.
Oh, now, man.
Explain to me, Kevin. You've been to plenty of championship games as a Lakers fan.
Yes.
Explain to me that you're a big enough fan to go in person to see your team play. How are you then even able to get up and walk out when it's still so close at the end of the game?
I don't know. I really, when it gets to the finals, you stay until the buzzer, unless right. You're behind by 36 points or something. You know what I mean? And even then, if it's the last game you're going to see them play that year, you kind of stick around and give them applause. And I'm a guy that leaves early because of my job. I have to get up early, so I leave early when I can. But when it's the finals, you're crazy.
And we had Matt Barnes on from the Clippers on the show this week, too. And we asked him about, as a player, you're out on the court. Can you see that? Like, if people start streaming for the exits, are you focused enough on the game that you don't see that? He's like, no, we absolutely see that. And that has to have some effect on the players to see, oh, it's over now. The fans are giving up on us, right?
And the rule, according to pretty much every stadium, is when you leave, you're out. You can't come back in. So everybody, like a lot of the Heat fans, heard that it had been tied. They tried to get back in. They couldn't. They were trying to rush the door.
Oh,
they had a big
press.
And then they would stand around and watch on the TV inside the arena, you know, like by where they sell food, from the outside of the arena while they just stood out there and waited.
What a bird.
Yeah. Oh, it's brutal. So we started talking about you left a game early and you got burned. The biggest one for me was a USC-UCLA football game. Is it the Rose Bowl? I hate the Rose Bowl. Because the parking, you know, and the golf course and all that. It's really hard to get out. So I did leave early. It was a blowout. Probably end of the third quarter was a blowout. And, one of the teams came back and tied it. And I watched overtime in my house. From the game I was at, I watched the overtime in my house.
That is not good.
We want to take your calls. If you ever left a sporting event early, the more significant the game, the better the story is, by the way. And then there was some sort of crazy comeback that you wish you'd stuck around for. You're just trying to beat the traffic, but you missed the best part of the game. We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Beer Mug, I'm sure you're responsible for this. Every fail we bring up, you have a story. How about you?
Well, I could actually blame this one on my mom because it was arguably the biggest play in baseball history, Dodger history, the 1988 World Series.
Right.
bottom of the ninth, Dodgers versus the A's, game one. They bring in Dennis Eckersley. And my mom, she, when the Dodgers are up 8-1, and if the other team scores, she gets pissed. So they were down. No hope. Dennis Eckersley comes in. My mom's like, I'm out of here. We're gone. And of course, Kurt Gibson comes up.
That was the big Kurt Gibson home run.
That was a big Kurt Gibson home run. And we weren't even in the parking lot. We were already in Chinatown eating dinner. And the waiter came up to our table and said, Kurt Gibson just hit a home run, won the game. And my mom's like, what?
That is the kind of thing that if you were there, you could talk about being there for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even a baseball fan, and I know that whole moment. I've seen it 100 times.
I was at the beginning of the game, not at the end.
No. Okay. All right, 1-800-520-1067. You left the game early and a bit in the ass. We'll take your call. Yes, can I take your order, beer mug?
The game right now is at the plate.
Vin Scully goes on to add, fire beer mug. So mugs, again, for folks just tuning in, you're at the game with your mom. Your mom says, oh, we've lost this one. Let's just get the hell out of here. You're in Chinatown having some dim sum or something, like an hour, 45 minutes later, and you find out that that you missed the greatest moment in baseball history.
Precisely. We found out from the waiter, the greatest play.
Oh, really?
Well, we're taking calls on you were at a sporting event and left early, like so many fans did, to miss the amazing Miami Heat comeback in Game 6 of the NBA Finals this year. Let's go to, we had somebody on the line who was at that game. Oh, we had somebody else who did the same thing you did in the same game, Muggs.
At that World Series game left before the home run.
Let's try, we got some good ones here. Let's try Matt. He's on line 5. He'll get us going here. 1-800-520-1067. Matt, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What sporting event were you at and then you mistakenly left early?
96, Notre Dame SC. I was with my mom and my dad. Well, actually, my dad and my mom. My dad and my uncle were sitting in separate seats. I was sitting with my mom on the other side of the stadium.
Right.
And my mom decided to leave early because we parked in somebody's front yard, and she just wanted to beat the crowd.
And what was going on in the game, like when you left versus how it ended?
SC was down, and I don't remember the exact play that did it, but my mom heard the roar of the crowd and begged the security guard to let us back in. And he actually let us back in.
Really? Most of the time they'll say, no, sorry, those are the rules.
Oh, I don't know how my mom does it. She gets into it. She finds a way to get back into stuff or get into stuff without paying. I don't know how she does it.
I hate to say this because it's your mom, but she's obviously
probably hot.
That's what's going on here.
Sorry, dude.
And USC comes back and beats Notre Dame. That's fun. Thanks for the call. Let's try Brandon. He's on line 7. Brandon, you are up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. You had an NFL experience like this one, right?
Correct, yeah. I was at the playoff games, Eagles versus Packers. The Eagles were down. It was 4th-and-26, so my cousin and I decided to leave our seats. And then found out later that was the play that Donovan threw to Freddie Mitchell. I want to thank my hands for being so great. Found out about it later on when we read it back, and we were in college at the time. Back when we went back to my college, we were partying with everybody.
So you didn't even realize it until you got all the way back to school.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone was like, "Dude, you guys were at the game." We're like, "Hell yeah, woo!" And just felt like the biggest ass.
Yeah, that's tough. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Doug. He's on line 8. He's got another USC story. Doug, what amazing USC comeback did you miss?
It was a couple of years ago when they played Stanford.
Yep.
And Stanford was losing by three touchdowns, but they had to get two-point conversions to come back and win.
Right.
And they came back. And my buddy and I, huge USC fan that he is, we left late in the fourth quarter, 7 minutes, and we were listening to it on the radio in the car, and we heard him come back.
Is there anything worse?
No, not for me.
Just listening in the car. You know what? There is one thing worse, and that's when you're walking to your car, and you hear your car, and the entire place erupts. That's worse.
You don't even know what happened.
Right. You go, I don't know what happened, but I should have been there for it.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try a couple more. How about Steven? He's on line 4 up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's get into the NHL now. Hey, this happens across all sports.
Hey, Steven.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Oh, good. So, yeah, I was at a game two this year, Ducks and Red Wings. I got the tickets given to me by buddy. It was 4-1 in the third period, 9 minutes left. I looked at my girlfriend. I'm like, yeah, this game's over.
That's when the Red Wings were ahead 4-1?
Yeah, Red Wings were at 4-1.
And how'd that work out for you?
Yeah, exactly. So we head home. I make a joke. I'm like, watch, I bet they tied the game. Turn the TV on. It's tied. It's in overtime. Red Wings still ended up winning. But then my buddy next to me is like, dude, how awesome. I mean, I know they lost, but at least they came back. Well, the comeback is like, yeah, I left.
I left. I was at that game.
No excuse for what Steven did, but you rarely come back from three goals back in the third period
right.
of hockey.
But exactly. If you do, it's amazing, and you have amazing. To be there for it.
By the way, thank you very much for the call, Steven. We appreciate it. As an aside, Kevin, did you see what happened in Austin with the overtime win for the Blackhawks last night? Did you see what happened to the TV station?
I saw the game, but...
Well, the game was running late, so in Austin, I don't know why they do this. They blamed it on the automation. They have a promo for their morning news that runs at 10:30.
I did see this.
And the computer kicked in at 10:30. And came back after 30 seconds. It came back to the Blackhawks celebrating. So the people who were watching that game all the way into overtime yep. did not get to see the final winning goal. They just came back and saw the party.
Literally cut into the middle of the game with a promo and came back and it was over and they were celebrating. It was so funny. I tweeted, how did Beer Mug get there?
All right, folks. So what's the lesson we've all learned here today? It's just don't leave early if it's an important game.
If
right?
they're going to come back, stay for it.
Yep. Oh, if okay. Gotcha.
Right? Yep.
That's easy. Coming up next hour here on the show, by the way, we'll catch up with Dr. Drew, who's ugly and should leave Amanda Bynes alone or save her life, depending on who you're listening to. He somehow has gotten drawn into the middle of the Amanda Bynes controversy. It must be so weird for him.
She's the best.
And we'll talk to our man Stryker, too, who had the rare opportunity recently to interview Daft Punk. They don't give very many interviews, and Stryker got the assignment. We'll talk to him about that coming up, too. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Congratulations. To Jennifer Lopez. How about her? What are you talking about? She's getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today.
Oh.
11:30 a.m. If you'd like to check it out, Jennifer Lopez will pick up the 2,500th star. There's officially now been 2,500 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and she is 2,500th of those.
Now, let's guess, because I don't know. I've not seen this story yet. Kevin, let's guess. Do you think she's going in as an actress or as a singer?
Oh.
Should be singer. I'd say singer.
Oh, good question.
Why? What do you think?
I think I'm going to agree with you. I think I'm going to go singer, too.
She's going as fragrance saleswoman.
I don't think those exist.
It does not say. It does not say here whether she's going in as an actress or a singer. I'm assuming she's going in as an actress. That was first and foremost.
Sure. I knew her, right? Here's what I know. There are a lot of stars down there. You know?
2,500th star. 2,500 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, Kevin.
That's
you
a
would
lot.
Think that every square
That's
inch
what I'm
of
saying.
The Hollywood Walk of Fame would be full now, that there wouldn't be room for another star to be placed in one more square of cement in that sidewalk up and
they
down
They must be
Hollywood
putting them in, like, East Los Angeles now.
It's crazy how many there are. You think of all of the stars that there are in the world on a regular basis. It seems like every other day we hear about a star getting their star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And yet, somehow...
How do they do it?
They're going to give one to Jennifer Lopez today.
How is it possible?
I was thinking, how can that be? How can there it be that they somehow have eked out another square in that Walk of Fame to put another star in for Jennifer Lopez? But you know what? As I thought about it, it dawned on me. There's always room for J-Lo!
Oh my God, really?
Yay!
Yay!
There we go.
That's going to be quite something to check out.
In music news, congratulations to Black Sabbath. After 43 years of making albums, they finally have a number one album. Their new CD, 13, debuted at number one in the Billboard 200 this week.
How long ago did they give up having a number one album? I mean, they haven't been together for a long time.
This is why you never commit suicide, people. All you kids at home, listen. This is why you never take yourself out of the game, because you never know what's either around the corner or down the road a piece. But if you work long enough and hard enough and you keep your nose to the grindstone, you keep yourself clean.
Most of you still won't get anywhere.
Most of you will get something in your life that you never expected to get.
Just not what you were hoping for.
Yes, Lisa, you're missing my point.
Opposite of what you wanted.
You're raining
on
Ralph's. Not the opposite.
You're raining on Ralph's during commencement speech.
I'm saying that you can achieve greatness, and sometimes life can surprise you. Let's say you start out. 43 years later, next thing you know, boom, number one album. How about that? No, that's nothing to do with that. I'm being inspirational. I'm being goddamn inspirational.
The reason that you're shaking up this whole competition is that you dare to dance in
that's
the path
right.
of greatness.
I dance in the path of greatness.
That's what I know about you.
And then these people tie my shoes together while I'm trying to dance in the path of greatness.
I want to give it up, by the way, for Rick Rubin, super producer Rick Rubin, who seems to just be able to make a hit out of anything. He's the guy who produced this Black Sabbath album and right to number one. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see the Jay-Z video of him working with Jay-Z?
Yes.
Freaking
yes,
laying
I
on
did.
A couch. I could do
I
that.
I know. It's weird how
Rick Rubin is
how Kevin does his job here with not the same results.
Rick Rubin is sleeping on the couch. That's his producing.
Kevin lays on a yoga mat in the corner, and we wake him up when it's time to go in the air, and yet he doesn't have the same results.
Jay-Z says, is that all right? He's like, yeah, whatever.
Says, Rick Rubin's approach to producing seems to be just to stay out of the way.
Yeah.
But he's listening, man. He's listening.
I guess so. He obviously knows what he's doing. He's had phenomenal success with everybody from the, you know, Beastie Boys, the Dixie Chicks, to now Black Sabbath.
Here's the rest of the top 10 on the Billboard 200 album chart. Daft Punk is at number 2. Justin Timberlake, 3rd. Big Time Rush. That's like a fake band. That's like a TV band.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's like a Disney group or something.
Yeah. No. Their debut album is 4th on the list. Florida Georgia Line. I'm guessing that's a country band.
Yeah.
They're 5th. Darius Rucker, country.
Country.
Blake Shelton, 7th, country. Goo Goo Dolls, Magnetic. Their debut was 8th on the list. The Man of Steel soundtrack was 9th. And Lonely Island. How about our friends, the Lonely Island?
If you haven't picked up the Whack album, pick it up. It's great.
It debuted at number 10 this week, so congratulations to those cats. More music news. The Rolling Stones are having quite the year, aren't they? This tour of theirs is just...
Boy, they sure are.
...dominating the headlines as well as the box office. They have guest stars almost at every event that they're doing, which keeps it
fresh.
They're
playing Glastonbury this weekend.
Yeah. And now, thanks to the folks at iTunes, you can have everything the Rolling Stones have ever recorded all in one place. Every Rolling Stone song ever. From their 1963 debut single, a cover of Chuck Berry's song Come On, all the way through to the new songs they recorded for this year's GER Greatest Hits collection. They've all been remastered. Now they're available exclusively on iTunes.
So they had a new song for that Greatest Hits collection,
they
too.
They had two of them, yeah.
I think
yeah.
it was...
Balls, 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 balls.
Yeah, Mick's voice really has changed a little bit. How's it been
years? Balls, 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 balls.
Would you love it if the Stones came out and played that?
They covered balls, wouldn't it?
Balls, 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 balls.
Ralph, I looked it up for us.
Oh, why?
I looked it up for us.
We were having
I don't even
this
know what he's talking about. I'm already cranking it.
Jennifer Lopez. Talk about Jennifer Lopez.
Lopes.
It says here the 43-year-old singer and actress will receive the Milestone Star on June 20th for her contribution to the music industry.
Music. So
apparently she
singer.
Is going in as a singer.
Hmm.
So now we know, I guess.
Shocking and stunning to me. Why? You think she's,
yeah.
Well, do you think she's had more success as an actress or as a singer? You tell me. I know she sold a bunch of records, but
yeah.
But I don't remember any smash.
I certainly think Jennifer of her more Lopez as an bit. Actress. Yeah, I certainly think of her more as an actress now in the last, you know, 6-7 years or something like that. She seems to be spending most of her time doing that. I think her best days as a musician are well behind her.
Yeah.
Certainly. I would have been fine with either one.
I guess you go in as whatever you want to go in as at a certain point.
I guess so, yeah.
I guess they just want Jennifer Lopez on the walk, so she said put me in with that one of those little records. They still use those little records for singers. Isn't that funny?
That is weird.
That's nothing. Oh, I'm running out of time. I got so much to do. I got a Courtney Stodden story you're not going to believe when I get...
Asshole!
Hey, come on!
You doing next hour?
Come see me where people like me at the Improv this Friday, 10 p.m. with Kevin Smith, another guy who likes me, who lets me be inspirational.
No! No! No!
10 p.m. Friday night at the Improv. Go to improv.com for a new Hollywood Babylon show.
No!
Me and Kevin Smith. You guys are mean.
That must have been a moment of party.
It's going to be a moment of party. I guarantee if you come out Friday night, 10 p.m., it'll be a moment of party.
Not a moment. It's 2 hours
of
party.
It's a two-hour show, but there's a moment in there. Oh, okay. It's just a party. Today's celebrity birthday is Chris Mintz-Plasse. He is 24 years old today. Very funny. And this is the end, by the way.
Yeah.
Very funny. Very moment fun. For him. Josh Lucas is 42. Robert Rodriguez, the director, is 45. Nicole Kidman, 46. It's a pretty good 46 right there, but...
Absolutely.
What has she done to herself, though, in the past couple of
years? I don't know, but I don't like
it. She kind of froze it.
She is turning herself into some sort of mannequin.
Yeah.
It's like a science fiction film where
she's
slowly
age no more.
Being changed into some sort of statue.
Yep.
And eventually they're just going to push her around on wheels and she won't be able to move any longer. A lot of bassists in the news. Michael Anthony, formerly of Van Halen, and John Taylor both celebrating their birthdays today. John Goodman, the actor, is 61. Lionel Richie is 64. Martin Landau, the very talented, long-standing actor, is 85. And Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, 71. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
If you are as fascinated by that band right there, Daft Punk, as we are, be sure to stick around because we have highlights of an interview that they did with Stryker, our own Stryker, afternoons here on KROQ, and we'll talk to Ted about it, too. They don't give very many interviews. They had some very interesting things to say, so we'll talk about that coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Ralph has been making fun of my people. You know I love the Norwegians so much, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't know why, but you do.
Because they're awesome, and it's an awesome country.
And it's boring.
How dare you? I don't know how you could say that. The article that drew his attention was one on the NRK National Broadcasting Service. This is the countrywide television network. And they are just experiencing just record ratings with some of their new programming, some of their new TV specials that they've been doing. And they're trying to figure out what can they do next because their shows have been so successful. They get sometimes half the people in the country are watching some of the shows. You know how rare an audience like that is these days.
Right. And you think, what would it take in the United States to get half of the people watching?
That's like a Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's about it.
Well, they're doing it with a camera mounted on a train that rides 8 hours. They've got a 134-hour ferry that they ferry ride that they put a camera on. They've got discussions on how to build a fire.
This is a genre, according to this article, known as quote slow television.
The next special that they have scheduled, Lisa, is a live show in which experts knit while spectators sit in their living room eagerly awaiting the next stitch.
And those are getting blockbuster ratings.
Really?
Yes. Yes, they are.
This is like the American Idol of Norway, wherever it is.
So we wanted to find out more what's going on in the crazy country of Norway. So we asked Dave to please line us up somebody from NRK, which is the television network. And I believe we have Rune Mokblust. Mr. Mokblust, Programming Executive of NRK, thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. And his last name is Mokblust.
Mokblust.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for saying it correctly. Uh-huh.
Yes, I apologize. My Norwegian is not what it should be.
Fine, I understand. Norwegian is easier for everyone to talk.
Right. Now, I didn't mention one of the shows that you recently aired, and maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit more about the show that involves swimming salmon.
Oh, swimming salmon, very popular show for us in Norway. It's a show where salmon swim upstream, though, upstream.
Right.
Very exciting, upstream.
And you follow a particular family of fish?
No, don't get crazy with all your crazy ideas. It's just a stream with fish swimming up it. 18 hours of footage of that happening.
18 hours straight with just one camera static shot.
Oh, yeah, exciting, isn't it?
And it gets half the people of Norway to watch.
Very popular show. Everyone likes slow TV.
Okay, but why does it help me out here. Why does it have to be 18 hours? It seems like everything that you're going to see about fish in a river, you can see in the first 2 minutes.
Oh, you'd be surprised. 17 hours in was the biggest jump.
But it's a bigger jump by an inch. I mean, do you have to see that?
Well, when you're a salmon, an inch counts.
Of course.
Right. So before we brought you on, sir, we talked about how the ratings have been so good for these specials.
Oh, everyone loves slow TV in Norway.
Right. How do you top yourself? What's left for you to do?
Well, we have, of course, the knitting show you mentioned.
Right.
But that's a real show where they're just going to show people knitting?
Oh, the knitting needles will be flying.
How?
Bolts of yarn.
How is that TV?
Well, You know, here's how it works. We have a camera.
No, I understand.
What happens in front of it? It goes through the air.
I get that. Okay.
And lands in the homes of people. That's okay. How it's TV.
All right. All right.
Another show we're doing is construction workers moving wood planks to show you what the time it is.
Hmm.
Okay. So every minute a construction worker comes out and just moves the minute hand a minute?
The planks of wood shape the numbers, and it 9:45. Oh, it's 9:46. Move the wood.
Okay, but I have...
Move the wood.
But I have a clock on my phone.
Oh,
I don't really...
You know, the construction workers moving wood.
Right, but I don't need to watch TV to see them build a clock every minute.
Oh, so exciting.
It doesn't sound exciting. What are we missing?
We have a bunch of new shows coming on this fall that not even in that story you talked about.
Oh, new fall TV series. Fantastic.
Yes.
Stepping
it
up a
bit. I Want a Chick.
I Want a Chick.
Yeah.
And that's what?
We show you an egg.
Uh-huh.
And then you wait to see whether there's a little chick inside of it come pecking out or whether it's just an egg. You don't know!
How long is that show?
Well, it could be weeks. Just an egg.
It's a camera on an egg, and we're just waiting to see whether it's fertilized and hatches?
Yeah, what if it comes out on a chicken?
I mean, really? I find that hard to care about.
Another great show we have coming for fall, Moss or No Moss?
Moss or No Moss?
It's a rock in a stream. Will moss grow on the rock, or will moss not grow on the rock? Only you can find out.
It sounds like it's relatively cheap to produce.
We have a new show. Does this look like cancer to you? A guy's got a mole on his back.
Come on.
And then we just keep the camera on the mole, and maybe the mole stays a mole. But maybe it grows into cancer.
Now, do you follow him to a doctor's office?
No,
do they
we just let the mole take a look at and it? Either it grows into a cancerous melanoma, or it's just a mole.
What about the poor actor who's got to just sit there and get cancer?
Reality show, not actor. It's a real person.
Oh, okay. All right.
Norway's Next Top Funeral.
Norway's Next Top Funeral.
Will be very popular. We'll show a corpse. And then you, the audience, get to vote. Who is the best dead person?
I don't know about some of these changes.
We have a new sitcom, a hilarious sitcom called One Bad Apple.
All right, One Bad Apple.
Yes. It's an apple that is rotting.
Right.
So, it sure turns brown.
Well, how is that a sitcom, though? Is that just a camera on an apple?
Come on, it's a brown apple. That's funny.
No.
And then, of course, the biggest one we think will be the biggest hit, Norway's Got Beard.
Norway's Got Beard.
Yes. The guy, clean-shaven at first.
Uh-huh.
But then, as time goes on, he grows a beard.
Hey, don't you have to watch that for, like, a month or two?
Yeah, well, who knows? If it's successful... The beard may never stop growing. Norway's Got Beard.
Well,
but seriously,
good luck.
Seriously, does this look like cancer to you? Because this thing on my arm has been growing for some time.
Why won't Dr. Drew just help Amanda Bynes? Why is he letting that poor woman twist in the wind, Kevin?
I don't know the answer to that, but we can ask him in about 15 minutes.
Selfish.
And why does Amanda Bynes call Dr. Drew ugly? Because we all know that's not true, because he's dreamy. Hey, our friend Ted Stryker made international headlines recently. Of course, he does afternoons here on the world-famous K-Rock. He managed to snag a rare, very rare interview with the guys in Daft Punk, who, as you know, have one of the biggest albums in the world right now with Random Access Memories. It's great. They've had a long career, but they have been very stingy with the details about their lives and what's going on under those helmets. We want to talk to Stryker and then hear some of his interview here this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ted.
Good morning, Kevin. And being Ann, Lisa, May, and Ralph.
Good morning.
So when you get the word that you get to interview Daft Punk, that's a big deal, right?
It's a big deal. I got a stomach ache immediately because I was thinking, oh, my God, this is one of those rare things. It's not just like I love interviewing Blink-182, as you guys know, but in an interview like that, you can talk about balls and music
sure. And
all dirty stuff. But with Daft Punk, who never give interviews, I was a bit nervous, yeah.
How's their English?
Their English is probably better than mine.
It's way better than mine, guaranteed.
I mean, this is how rare it is that they give interviews. I mean, I'm a fan of theirs, yet can't remember the last time I actually heard them speak. So I didn't even know what they, you know, how they're, what they sound like.
Exactly. It was interesting to hear Tomas. He does most of the talking from the band, and his English and his vocabulary is really, really impressive. G-Man, his English is not as good. But yeah, one of the things I'm hearing most isn't just about the content, but it's just hearing what they sound like when they talk and the cadence with the way they speak.
Yeah, right. Now, we only have some highlights of your interview. I guess you did, what, like 20 minutes with them or something?
Exactly.
How exactly did Star Wars come up? Because I didn't expect that to be a question that you had for those guys.
Well, they did a commercial. Of course, they were in their robot outfits.
Right.
This was about 4 years ago, and the commercial is awesome, and it's in the Star Wars bar. What is it? The cantina?
The cantina bar, right.
Exactly. And it is such a great commercial, and huge celebrities are playing different characters from the movie. David Beckham's in it and different people. So I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm not a complete Star Wars geek, but I knew about that commercial, and I had heard that they really like Star Wars. So I just started it out like, let's get to the important stuff. What do you think about J.J. Abrams and Star Wars? And that just kind of guided the rest of the interview.
And here's how that sounded.
It is me, Ted Stryker. I am in L.A. I am at K-Rock, and I am talking to G-Man and Tomas from Daft Punk.
What are you, in a library? Why are you whispering, Stryker?
Hey, everybody, it's Stryker.
Do I have a second to tell you why it sounds
please,
like that?
Please, because you really do sound like you're trying to not wake someone up.
Well, normally, as you guys know, this is how I talk, and sometimes I even get louder, which is a bad habit. But we were not face-to-face, but we were doing it through what's called an ISDN line. So it sounds like you're face-to-face on microphones. The sound was so G-damn loud in my ear that I didn't know if I was killing their eardrums on the other end. And it was my first words ever speaking to them was that second. And so, yes, the beginning sounds very, very weird.
They're probably thinking, why doesn't that guy talk?
Thanks for coming on. How about Star Wars? J.J. Abrams taking over the Star Wars franchise. How do you feel about that?
We feel really good. I mean, we've always been big fans of his work, and I happen to have met J.J. a few years back, and he's a really cool guy, and he seems to be the perfect candidate to keep the Force alive.
I got to tell you, they say this many times during the interview, but they seem to know everyone on Earth.
Yes, they have.
Anything you ask them about, they go, yeah, we met him. Sure, we were hanging out with him.
Mm-hmm. 100%. But what's really cool, when they say that they know these people, it's not like, well, I know that person. They just say it in such a matter-of-fact way. So
right.
It comes off in a really cool way.
Did you watch J.J. Abrams' show Lost, by the way?
Yes.
What did you think, Tomas, of the ending?
As Pharrell would sing in Get Lucky, all ends with beginnings, you know?
I was lucky enough to sit down with Phoenix at Coachella, and I think it was the night before Paul McCartney was waiting for them at their bus. Did you have a chance to meet Paul McCartney? Have you met him before?
Not yet. No, we haven't met him. We have some mutual friends, but then we learned also that he really likes the album, which was really incredible to hear, you know, that he was really responsive to the record.
And the people that you have collaborated with.
Yes, Bean, you had a question?
I didn't make a peep, but since you did interrupt there, what's up with the goddamn robot helmets?
Well, they love the word mystique and mystery, and it's all about they don't want just to walk around the streets and be known and be recognized. But what's up with the robot helmets is just all about mystique and creating a story.
They could get so many chicks. They're in Daft
Punk. They're probably fine that way.
I think they are.
I did have to have them pointed out to me at Coachella, though. I didn't know exactly what I had seen them, like a picture a long time ago. But somebody's like, oh, those two guys right there, they're Daft Punk.
And look, Kevin, you and I could go to Coachella and be Daft Punk for that matter, though.
Right? I'm going to start wearing the helmet. All right. He's talking about people that they collaborated with.
Whether it's someone younger like Pharrell or Julian or someone like Paul Williams, who has been around for years. These are people who know what they're doing in music. Is that the reason why you went with someone like Julian Casablancas and Nile Rodgers and Paul Williams? Because they will withstand the test of time?
These are people that, you know, we're music lovers, first and foremost, and we were able to just randomly sometimes encounter them and becoming friends with them, and the whole project really happened in a very smooth and organic way. We're really usually shy. We don't really contact anybody, so we just happened to meet during these 5 years, you know, through mutual friends, whether...
These guys are really shy, and they don't contact anyone. How do they know everyone?
Yet everyone comes in. Like, how do you accidentally end up in a studio with the guy who wrote The Rainbow Connection? That's just too random to believe, isn't it?
It was Paul Williams. We knew Nile Rodgers. We met about 15 years ago, and we knew Pharrell, which we had worked with, and it was sure. just... reaching out to friends and wanting to create somehow it's true maybe a piece of music that could stand the test of time, but that's always what we've tried to do, you know, when we did Daft Punk our homework back then 17 years ago, whether we when we did a Discovery, you know, and it seems that even these records and these albums that we've done, some people are still listening to these albums today, and that's always been somehow something we've tried to do, which is not creating a disposable piece of music, but really trying to do something that can be maybe live in a timeless place.
Disco is forever, so they definitely picked the right genre. Hey, this is the voice of Ted Stryker here on the phone on the Kevin Bean Show. We're listening to some highlights of his recent interview that he did with the band Daft Punk. I don't know if you got to this or not. I haven't heard the whole thing, Stryker, but are they surprised by the immense success of this record? It's so far and away has eclipsed everything else they've ever done in terms of sales.
I don't know if they're surprised by sales. I didn't specifically ask that question, but I did ask them if they were at Coachella when the tease came on for Get Lucky. And not only did they say they were there at Coachella, they were with Pharrell watching it, but they expressed how excited they were when they saw how excited everybody was for it.
They went all the way out to Coachella to watch that 60-second commercial when it came on the giant screen on the main stage.
Wow. Yeah, and they love going to Morongo.
Okay. what's their game? Where can people hear the whole thing, Ted?
The whole thing is on krock.com. We talk about like shows like Mad Men and Breaking Bad, which they like a lot. You heard us talk about Lost. And one thing, Bean, you brought up Paul Williams, who wrote The Rainbow Connection. He was also Little Enos in Smokey and the Bandit, so I ask if they've seen Smokey and the Bandit, and it's kind of funny hearing their answers. We talk about Brian Wilson, but the main answer, the interview, the 20 minutes... unedited is on krock.com.
There you go.
Great.
They always give Ted the important interviews. You guys notice that?
Yeah.
Oh, we got Daft Punk. Well, let's not ruin our chances of this band forever by giving him to Kevin and B. Let's give him to Stryker. He's responsible. Well, you did a terrific job, man, and we appreciate you sharing some of your thoughts with us here today on the show, too.
Thank you. I'm going to go look at Kate Upton naked on a horse now.
Yes, you are. TMZ.com. Thank you, Ted. That's it. You're fired. Get out. Our intern on her last day spilled a trash can of Coke on the board. All right, it's world famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 9.
Every week at this time, we talk to our good friend Dr. Drew, co-host of Loveline and the host of his own HLN show weeknights on that channel. And, of course, the Dr. Drew podcast from drdrew.com and podcastone.com. Hey, Doc, how are you, my friend?
Bean, how are you? We missed you on Saturday night at the Catherwood Castle.
Yep. I don't think anyone expected Bean to be there.
It was very kind of Mike and his lovely bride to invite me, but I heard everybody had a great time, although I heard you were patient zero. You were walking around hacking on everybody, right?
Yeah, I had a weird headache, and I just couldn't engage. But Kevin and I and his lovely wife, Melissa, spent a good deal of time together. And we,
good.
I was in the middle of a crap storm that day, in fact.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted to talk to you about that.
You're in the middle of a crap storm every day, aren't you?
Thank you, Kevin. Really. I'm not that guy either, which is what drives me insane.
It is hilarious. And by the way, Dr. Drew, you don't know this. I don't think ever talked about this, but we spend a great deal of our time in the morning here with our various guests that come through defending you. There are a lot of people out there who hate you, and it really drives us crazy. Because, of course, because you hear from them. Yeah. But
I appreciate that. Kevin told me. I know.
Yeah, we absolutely do. I can't tell you how often it happens, and I think it's just because people see you on their TV all the time, so they feel like somehow you must be a bad person because you're on TV all the time. I don't understand the logic here, but this latest crap storm that you're talking about, what's going on, Doc? What happened?
Well, you know, I'm again a bad person because I wouldn't get on a private jet and fly over and rappel down into Amanda Bynes' apartment.
Yeah,
basically, I was getting hundreds and hundreds of tweets, people saying, "What's the matter with you? How insensitive are you? Why don't you help Amanda Bynes? What, you know, you've got to help her. Go now."
Like you're SEAL Team 6, and you can just rappel in and help people that need it.
That's exactly right. Particularly celebrities that need it. Like that's how I live my life.
Do people really get angry at you for not helping Amanda Bynes?
Like, I was getting so many tweets about this, it became overwhelming. it was funny, but it wasn't. I was sitting there Saturday morning thinking, I have to respond to this. This is ridiculous. I don't have a license to practice medicine in New York. She lives 3,000 miles away. And in what world does a doctor rappel into their apartment and intrude on people's lives? So I wrote a simple tweet. I said, look, it's time to leave poor Amanda Bynes alone. And I meant that. I mean, let's leave the girl alone. This is clearly not helping her, all the crazy Twitter attention.
It's a lot of fun, though, Doc.
I understand, Kevin. It's okay. Part of your sport. But anyway, I said, leave her alone. And if she wants help, she'll reach out for it. If she needs help, hopefully she'll get it before nothing bad happens.
Wow, that was insensitive of you.
Evidently.
That seems like you're...
That was me at my worst.
That seems like concern.
Yes.
And begging people to give her some space.
Yes.
And you got flack. Why?
Well, Amanda reacted. Amanda was with in all caps. You know, the only Amanda stuff. First of all, I'm ugly. Let's get that straight.
Everyone is ugly. That's how she begins her email.
Well, not everyone. It's me, Rihanna, Drake, Jason Biggs. Pretty good company of
not
ugly
bad.
People.
Yeah.
As ugly clubs go, I'm happy to be a member. So I'm ugly, and she's screaming, "What kind of help are you talking about? How dare you? I don't need help."
Oh, because you're insinuating that she needs help. In which case, she's going to get mad at you because she doesn't. Is
right.
that
and
come from
way,
her
when
standpoint?
When I read the tweet, I actually laughed out loud. I thought, wow, this girl is funny. but it does look a little more something substantial than just that, but whatever.
So is she spending time in her little New York City apartment when she's not throwing bongs out of the window? Is she spending time just fighting back at everybody who thinks she thinks is dissing her on social media? I mean, has she become obsessed with what people are talking about when it comes to Amanda Bynes?
I think the simple answer is yes. I think that's right. It looks like it. When you see the stuff she picks up, I mean, I literally, as a result of her responding, received 2,500 mentions and another 1,500 retweets. And basically, it was split 50-50. You're an ass. Leave her alone. How dare you? And, hey, Amanda, he's just trying to help. Right
wow.
down the middle. It was extraordinary how many people took it the way she did, as though I was trying to insinuate or intrude or do something, which is exactly the opposite of what I was trying to do, which was stay out of it.
And by the way, here's the position that Dr. Drew finds himself in is, let's say Amanda did reach out to you and say, Dr. Drew, I'm going to be in California. I'd like to get together. I'd like to meet you, right? Yeah. You would have so many people who would have knives out talking about how you were a bad person because you were just being opportunistic and you were just chasing a celebrity and you were just trying to use her popularity to get – I mean, literally, there's almost nothing you can do that's going to satisfy half the people.
Or I get the other piece, which is, oh, you only treat celebrities. How dare you?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
No, in my life, I don't treat celebrities. I have treated plenty of celebrities, but I don't like to. I will. And I don't seek that out at all.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Now,
hey, let's just, for the record, now I'm depressed.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to ask you, what percentage of the response that you get is positive versus negative? Just in general, overall?
Probably about, honestly, 70-30. But of course, since, you know, like Kroll and I always say, we have low self-esteem.
70 positive?
Yeah, the 30% cuts deep.
Yeah.
So, we may have asked you this last time we brought up Amanda, but just before we let you go here, Dr. Drew, from afar, do you think this is a drugs and alcohol thing, or do you think that this is a mental health thing?
I do not think it's a drug and alcohol thing. I really don't. It could be. I just don't. It just doesn't feel like that to me. I'm more concerned if it's something, I don't know, and please, everybody, hold back on your tweets. I don't know. If it is, 18 to 25 is when significant major psychiatric illness emerges, things like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder and other mood disturbances. And so, again, the shaving of the head, that all that stuff is sort of what people do when a significant psychiatric illness is emerging, and that's the scary part of this.
What about the, I used to be ugly and now I'm beautiful, which is, in fact, just the opposite of true?
Yeah.
What's that? She used to be attractive, and now she's just she's hideous.
Well, it's again, when people get these illnesses, they have distortions and lack of insight, and you worry. You know, people have, one of the things that people keep saying to me that she has body dysmorphic disorder, which you can't say at that kind of distance. You can say she has preoccupations with how she appears, but then that's been her whole life. It's been a weird life, right? She's been in front of a camera since she was a kid, and who knows what that did to her.
Right.
But you're ugly. We have to remember that.
So. I am. So your opinion doesn't matter. Dr. Drew on call, HLN Money through Friday nights at 6. And, of course, Loveline 5 nights a week with our dear friend Mike Cathwood. And don't miss the Dr. Drew podcast at podcast1.com and drdrew.com. We'll talk to you soon, Doc. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
I don't know anything about anything, but
that's
I do
true.
Know.
Yes.
I
we
do
need that
know
tape, please.
That we don't have time for. Thanks for that tweet, Bean, coming up after the top.
Oh, nothing but.
Hey, congratulations to Benjamin Leiter. He is the latest winner. He's from Los Alamitos. He is the latest winner of tickets for the Epicenter 5. Congratulations. You are going to see Offspring, Bad Religion, Pennywise, so much more. Tickets are going on sale tomorrow. You can get those details at Kerrick.com. Another chance to win is coming up. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
World's a little darker place today now that James Gandolfini is no longer among us.
No kidding.
Boy, his work. Of course, it's Tony Soprano, but in other films and on stage, just one of those actors, always good. Never even wanted to get into acting, by the way.
He didn't.
Really? Went to Rutgers, graduated, was managing a bar, running a nightclub. And a friend of his said, I'm doing this acting class, it's really great, I think you would enjoy it, you should come with me. And he's like, no, I'm no interest in that. And
that's so weird.
Guy talked him into it. He started going to this acting class, fell in love with it, and then the rest, as they say, is history.
So. He kind of seemed like an unlikely actor to me in that he did not seem comfortable with people. He seemed like a guy who was very shy. And you got to
that's very different from the acting. I mean, a lot of actors are shy. De Niro is famously shy, can barely put a sentence together in front of
people. But how do you get the strength to go up on stage and be in a play or something like that if you're terrified?
You're somebody else. Don't you know anything about acting, Bean?
I guess not.
You do. You lose yourself inside of a character. They give you the words to say. You put on this persona, and it's a suit of armor you wear in front of people. You're
I
not,
already told
you're
you I don't know
yourself.
Anything about anything.
Well, then listen to yourself. Tweet yourself that. Make it a cashew or something. Something you'll understand. passed away yesterday in Sicily at a film festival. I didn't realize this until I read the details this morning, but discovered by his teenage son, by the way.
Oh, dear God.
Was there on vacation with his son who had just graduated from 8th grade as sort of a present, and the son was the one who found him collapsed.
Oh, that's rough.
So, just tragic news at every turn. He's got a brand new baby girl at home, new wife, recently got married, and just tragic on every level. Only 51 years old. So
listen to this, Ralph. I think you were out of the room when Muggs told us, I'm going to start working out after what happened to James Gandolfini.
Well, then it's all worthwhile, though. As long as his passing saves Beer Mug, then it all becomes worthwhile.
The over-under is one day. How long Muggs is going to last on this?
Well, you know what a hero James Gandolfini was to Beer Mug.
Right.
He's just stop talking. Just keep eating and stop talking. Use that agreed mouth for what it's meant for. Just to consume food.
Yeah. Fire Beer Mug.
We're talking about annoying people. Courtney Stodden has announced she just had some plastic surgery.
Now this is the 20-year-old,
18-year-old.
18-year-old. Married to the 49-year-old or whatever that is?
She was famous because she married 50-year-old Doug Hutchinson, the actor, when she was 16 years old. Her parents signed off on it, and she has just been whoring up the place.
Half of her tweets are about God.
Yeah, and the other half about...
vagina.
Yes. I'm in my nighty, rubbing up against the toaster. You know, just weird sex stuff constantly. I'm on the floor writhing, and then John 3:11 or whatever.
Get naked, you strange whore!
Well, she does. She just had her C cups enhanced to double Ds.
Nice melons.
She says she loves the way she looks now. And I just hope now that she has a large breast, she'll be comfortable with her sexuality and will start to pose in...
That's a good...
Come out of her shell a little bit,
lingerie
maybe?
And bikinis, because she really is sort of self-conscious, obviously, about her body.
Now, I want to ask Lisa this question, because she had a quote yesterday that was very controversial, which was... Now she finally feels like a woman.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Does that offend you?
She's?
Yeah. Yeah. She wasn't a woman. She wasn't sexy enough before, but now she feels like a woman because she's got double Ds.
Look, nothing she says in my mind has any legitimacy. She's an idiot.
She is an idiot.
She says now she can finally throw away the push-up bra she previously depended on to enhance
God
her
almighty
figure. Which is true. I've seen the photos, and it looks like two IndyCar drivers are fighting to get out of her chest head first. There's no doubt that those aren't going anywhere. They will not drop or anything. They're going to burst out of her chest.
Something really fake wrong boobs, with her. Fake lips, fake nose, nope. Fake cheekbones. Nope. She's fake.
Nope. She was all natural.
Oh. Now nice rack.
Now she's got the augmentation.
See, somebody has to say it. C's can be super hot.
C's are fine.
Yeah, nothing wrong with C's.
Nobody complains about that.
Especially on her body. She's a tiny little 18-year-old girl. Yeah. She always had big boobs.
Yep.
Yep.
It's madness.
Big juicy melons.
And here's the good news for you indie filmmakers. This is a very cool thing of Moby to do. He has started a website called MobyGratis.com. It's an online music library where independent filmmakers can access more than 150 of his songs to use in their films free of charge.
That's pretty cool.
One of the most expensive parts of making a lot of projects, not just independent films, but TV projects or even podcasts now. They'll slap you if you use music that is copyrighted. Or copywritten? What's the correct way to say that?
I think copyrighted, yeah.
They will slap you with a fine, so you have to go through these libraries that have royalty-free music, they call. And you can't use most popular things because it's cost prohibitive. But Moby's letting you use 150 of his songs for free, and you can use them in your movies.
He did stuff for the Bourne movies, and he's done some good stuff.
It's really cool of him.
Our little friend Zeke Peistrup, who was in the other day, who made that Harold Camping documentary, Ralph, he told us that he made the movie for $15,000, and over five of it was for music clearance.
It's very expensive. So Moby doing a nice thing for filmmakers. MobyGratis.com is the website if you're a filmmaker and you want to check it out. It's the online music library you can get for free. I thought that was a cool story. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Mintz-Plasse is 24 years old today. Actor Josh Lucas is 42. Robert Rodriguez is 45. Nicole Kidman turns 46. Bassist John Taylor of Duran Duran is 53. Another bassist, Michael Anthony, used to be with Van Halen until Wolfie took over. He's 59 years old. Actor John Goodman, 61. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys is 71 years old.
Yeah.
Martin Landau is 85. And singer Lionel Richie turns 64 years old today. I guess he gets money every time you play one of the songs he's written on the radio.
I hear that.
Best one for Burtonsville from Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
I'm just saying.
We're just saying.
I'm tired of saying it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Hi, it's Ralph.
Is that it?
Hi, it's Ralph.
Hi, Kat.
Hi, it's Ralph.
Hi. How are you, Kat?
Hi, it's Kat.
Hi.
Kat has a hairball or something. I don't know what's happening.
Kat has a hairball. Get it? Because she's...
Okay. Ralph is... Oh, I got to tweet that. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, it is the only thing pretty much people are talking about after the shocking and sad news yesterday about the passing of James Gandolfini. Is there nobody? Is there nobody you won't slap the comedy Price is Right music on?
You know I'm very, very upset about this one.
Oh, I can tell by your hilarious Price is Right zonk music.
This one hurt. This one hurt a lot.
He's able to somehow
overcome his sadness.
This one hurt
to Bean means something different than it does to you and I.
That's true.
You and I felt an emotion.
Right. He felt just, what was that? What was that strange disturbance in the force?
He knows he should feel something.
I do. I
the
really
best
do.
He can
I'm
do.
Very upset by this. I got to be honest. 51 years old, such a brilliant guy, by all accounts, a super nice guy. I mean, I'm really sad about it.
A tremendous actor and a good person by all those. All those that worked with him. Rolling Stone's got a nice piece about some of the tweets that have been pouring out from his friends and co-workers regarding the passing of Soprano star James Gandolfini, like Steven Van Zandt. It's Lil Steve, of course, worked with him on the show. I have lost a brother and a best friend. The world has lost one of the greatest actors of all time. Bryan Cranston tweeted, I'm saddened by James Gandolfini's passing. He was a great talent and I owe him. Quite simply, without Tony Soprano, there is no Walter White. It's true. He sort of created the complex bad guy on television. There had never been before seen a villain character like Tony Soprano who could whack people so cold-heartedly and yet was a loving family man and also sort of a neurotic mess in his psychiatrist's office, man bullied by his own mother even as he was sort of the king of a criminal empire. Fascinating character.
Terrible dude, but you like him.
Yeah, you love him.
It's a weird thing.
And also for the industry, that was the beginning of making TV cool. I mean, we wouldn't have so many of the great actors on television right now doing such great work if it hadn't been for The Sopranos breakthrough.
Like Bryan Cranston, you know?
Good example, yeah.
Well, if only he had said something. Governor Chris Christie of the state of New Jersey. James Gandolfini's passing is an awful shock. He was a fine actor, a Rutgers alum, and a true Jersey guy.
Yeah, Chris Christie should be paying particular attention to this one.
If you are if you're a guy from Jersey, that's the kindest thing you can say about somebody, is that they were a true Jersey guy. So, and Gandolfini always sort of embraced that, too, his Jersey roots. He never kind of played himself off as a New Yorker, as so many people from Jersey do. He was always very active with the state and its community. So, just tragic, tragic news. He leaves behind a son from a previous marriage who's a teenager. He was the one who discovered him, actually, when he collapsed from the heart attack.
That's rough.
He's got a baby girl and a new wife at home. So, thoughts out to the family of James Gandolfini today. Horrible day. Sad day for me personally as well.
Why?
Because Sci-Fi has just announced their new original movie that will be premiering on July the 11th, Sharknado.
What? How can there be a Sharknado?
Kevin, you'll be surprised, but this is based on a true story. It's
Come
about
on.
A tornado of sharks that has sharks swimming through the streets of Los Angeles and falling from the skies in a Sharknado.
How can you be sad about this?
How I'll am tell I you. Not in
How
it?
Are you not in it?
How am
right.
I not in Sharknado?
Damn you, Sharknado!
The guy who made Sharktopus a household word, and yet
Damn
somehow
you, Sharktopus!
I was passed over for Sharknado.
Sharknado.
How am I not in Sharknado?
Sharknado.
I want a good movie.
Well, you've got it with Sharknado. Regulars of a beachside bar team up to investigate the ecological nightmare that is Sharknado. Listen to this cast. Ian Ziering from Beverly Hills 90210.
Sure.
Cassie Scarbo from Make It or Break It. I don't know who either of those things are. John Hurd from Home Alone. Tara Reid.
Wow.
Stars as April.
You should be in this without Sharktopus.
I'm telling you, Sharknado. That hurts. Sharknado.
That does. When's that one on? I need to clear
July
my calendar.
11th.
July the 11th. Okay. Thursday, July 11th.
I already 11th, wrote it down.
9 p.m. Mark your calendars. And then on July the 18th, Sci-Fi is proud to announce Blast Vegas. Story of a group of wild frat boys who go to Vegas for a spring break, but one of them steals an Egyptian relic from a casino, and an ancient curse is released on the Vegas Strip in Blast Vegas.
Blast Vegas.
Sci-Fi just does the best work. We truly
they sure
are.
Do.
You know the work that James Gandolfini started with The Sopranos.
Right.
Sci-Fi is carrying on as we live in a
Sharknado
golden age.
Is...
As we live in a golden age of television.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sharknado. Initially, I thought it was about the members of NATO who were all sharks. Secretly, they were disguised as people, but they turned up being sharks. But
not as good a movie.
Not as good as a movie.
No.
No.
Can you guys imagine a tornado of sharks? I mean, that
no,
would be
you know
terrifying.
Why? Doesn't happen. There's no such thing. I can't even imagine it.
That would be
so
terrifying.
Scary.
That would be, though, on this one.
I think it would be more terrifying for the sharks to be, hey, why am I out of the water flying in the air in a circle all of a sudden? I can't breathe up here. It'd be worse for them.
Now, they don't have any kind of a continuity thing going on at Sci-Fi where you died in Sharktopus, therefore you're not available to be in Sharktado. Or Sharktado.
Sharktado. That right? would be good. Half shark, half potato. He tried to take a bite from his french fries, but they bit him first. It was Sharktado.
Awesome movie. So I'm just asking, do they just consider you're not on the bench anymore because you got eaten
I guess.
Up?
I guess okay. They blew their Ralph wad with Sharktopus.
That's a terrible idea.
It's the best idea ever.
But Sharktado, I think I got a shot to be in that.
Sharktado. Looking forward. I love Sharktado.
Sharktado.
I've already passed Sharknado.
Everything's better if you add a shark to it.
It's
turns
true.
Out when it comes to original feature films.
That's true.
Alexander Skarsgård of True Blood does an interview in Us Weekly magazine this week. Talking about his nudity in that TV show. He's in it. He's quite a bit naked in that
yes.
quite a bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of nudity in that.
Sure is.
More guy than girl.
He says he doesn't mind it because he tells the magazine, I was 14 the time I first saw my dad wearing pants. He was always naked. So A lot of nudity around the Skarsgård household, and he was used to it. Not a big deal.
Naked!
Not a big deal in his
family. That sounds like a call to child services needs to be made if you're walking around with your pants off for 13, 14 years in front of your kids, right?
Depends on what you're doing, I guess.
14 years!
If you're just cruising into the kitchen to get some OJ, I don't think it's a problem. And there is a director for the 50 Shades of Grey movie. We're one step closer to seeing that porn up on the big screen. And it's a female director. Interesting.
Okay.
Or it's a good idea, probably.
Probably.
What do women know about sex?
Well, it's a female. It's a woman's book, so yeah. I can see why you'd want her her take.
Farrah Abramson?
No, she is not directing in it, although maybe she might be starring. Mm. Sam Taylor Johnson is her name. She made her directorial debut with a film called Nowhere Boy in 2009, a film about the early life of John Lennon. And that's where she met her husband, Aaron Taylor. What's his last name? He was in Kick-Ass. Aaron Taylor Johnson is his name. He played John Lennon in that film. That's where they met. That was kind of made a hubbub, you may remember, because she's like, I think, in her late 30s, early 40s, and he's in his early 20s. So there was a big age difference between the two of them when they got married. But she is going to direct. Still no word on the casting, but...
You want to be in that?
Nah, hold out for Sharktado. I don't want to book myself up and then have my schedule all screwed up, you know what I'm saying? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Mintz-Plasse. Since we're talking about Kick-Ass,
yep.
He will soon be seen in Kick-Ass 2, which if you've seen the trailer, looks awesome.
Does look good.
24 years old today. Josh Lucas is 42. Robert Rodriguez is 45. Nicole Kidman turns 46 today. Bassist John Taylor of Duran Duran is 53 years old. Van Halen's bassist for a long time. Chickenfoot. Is he still in Chickenfoot? Is that still a thing?
I think it is.
Bassist Michael
Anthony. That's the new Sammy Hagar band. Yeah, I think it is.
Michael Anthony's 59 years old. Actor John Goodman is 61. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys is 71. I wonder how he's celebrating today. Guarantee it involves him wiping his chin. Lionel Richie is 64, and actor Martin Landau turns 85 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, one of the real-life guys behind the Bling Ring. This is a guy that just got out of prison. We're going to have him in. Nick Prugo is going to be on the program. This is where they were stealing from rich celebrities when they were
breaking
out.
Breaking to Paris Hilton's house, that's Lindsay Lohan, all of those, yeah.
Psycho Mike will be here with Psycho Body, as it is the first day of summer. So if you want to get in swimsuit shape, we'll talk about that tomorrow.
So if we tune in to Psycho Mike tomorrow at 8, he can get us in swimsuit shape
by tomorrow night?
By tomorrow afternoon.
Great. Afternoon, that's great. He does fast work. Comedian Bobby Lee and Movie Beat will be tomorrow as well because it is Friday. We'll see you then.